Revelation chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, first verse, saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns. Upon his heads the name of blasphemy. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon, that is Satan, gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And of course, you know we're talking about Antichrist, the final personification of earthly government and the final personification of sin and evil before Christ comes at Armageddon to put him down. And I say final except for one brief period when he will be released again after the millennium. Pause this to you that listen on radio while I try to find chapters without my glasses on, and I give up. I'm putting them on, and I'll find them. We're talking of the final government. That's the beast. Its feet in the territory of Iraq, Iran, southern Turkey, the Mesopotamian quadrant. We're talking of his nature, which is, as prophesied in Daniel, a restoration in the place of the kingdom of that Seleucid portion of Alexander the Great's kingdom. He gets his message from Satan. And he's, as an earthly ruler, possessed of a demon that formerly possessed as the prince of Grecia, that ancient Grecian kingdom of Alexander, released out of the abyss. He now rules the eighth and final kingdom of those prophesied in Daniel. And the earth, it says, they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast. And the fifth verse says, there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. The word in the Greek we've been talking about a lot this week. Exousia, in English letters, exousia. This word is used 102 times in the New Testament. It's going to be used again in the seventh verse. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Exact same word. Five and seven. Then the false prophet enters the scene, the last religious expression, alongside the last earthly government. Verse 11, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. It means he's going to look like a representative of Jesus. And he spake as a dragon. Listen to what he says. He gets his message from Satan. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast. exact same word, except a different form of it, ex, ous, theon. It's the same letter added. That's the way it would look in the Greek. Exousios, exousia, exousiae, exousion, authority or power. And its derivatives, as I've said, 102 times used in the New Testament. This culmination of evil forces in government, evil forces in religion, will have authority, and it will be personified within God's sovereign allowance in these two demon-possessed earthly government and religious leadership will personify in demon possession, exousia. Now that takes me immediately to where I've been camping out for a long time. I want you to go to Ephesians, chapter 6. As I came into a Sunday morning message on the subject of the first chapter in Ephesians, saying I do not believe that the congregation or Christianity at large or those listening to me now or then really comprehend what Paul is saying in that first chapter of Ephesians, where the word in the Greek, exalexito, past tense, chose, middle voice, for himself, not passive. In contrast with middle voice, in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, you read in your King James, finally, my brethren. My brethren's not in the original. Go ahead and scratch it out. I mean, that waters down the intensity of the advice. Can you see John Wayne in a foxhole in one of his great war films saying, my brethren, the enemy's approaching? So don't put silk stockings and powdered wigs of the King James people on St. Paul and have him in this context say, finally, my brethren. He says, literally in the Greek, for the rest of what I have to say, know, my brethren, go check it. Go out there and check that Greek back there. Go check anywhere you want to check. He didn't say, finally, my brethren. He said, for the rest, to loipu. I even like that better than the English. To loipu. That'll get your attention. What are you calling me? Is he worming me or something? For the rest, in dunamuste, be ye empowered, and included in that is the root meaning from which we get our cognate word dynamite, but it, in contrast to the middle voice, is in the passive voice. Let something happen to you as a result of something else. And he told us elsewhere what the something else is we must do. How is Christ formed in your heart? Give it to me. Christ is formed in your heart by faith. And faith, not belief. It's action based on belief sustained by confidence in that which you're believing in. That action connects with God. He puts his spirit or his life in you. And it's then in the passive tense, as he reminds us of our need to have that life, be ye endued, literally, for the rest, Not right in the King James. Correct it. Finally, he's out. My brethren's out. Simply for the rest, be ye empowered. Be strong is not communicating the subtle distinction between, oh, then I got to be strong. No, you don't got to be strong. You got to have faith in order that ye may be made strong. Big difference. As all these paradoxical Christian truths. You go up by going down. You live by dying. You become first by being last. You do not get empowered with God's might by saying, I'm going to be empowered with God's might. You don't even get empowered with God's might by going up and let Brother Hillybilly or whatever his name is lay hands on you. You get empowered with God's might by how is Christ formed in your heart? Let me hear it again. Christ is formed in your heart. How? What's faith? Action. All he's stating is the reason why that faith action is so important. It starts the process of salvation. It justifies you. It puts you in Christ, seated in heavenly places. It causes God to act in depositing his gift in you. All this is saying, you better have it. You better do what I've told you in all of my writings. Because be ye empowered. Have that dynamite multiplied in the Lord. Why? Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The word in the Greek. Or, in one of the forms like exousia, the long E form, pale is probably the broadest use of it. It is a word from Homer, as I've said, through the papyri, through the whole of Scripture, because, to my recollection, this may be the only place it's used in Scripture. But weighted down with a history of its use all the way back to Homer. It is used to swing. It has the root to swing or to throw. And it's used of wrestling in one-on-one Greco-Roman type wrestling. And it is used in the context where individual eyeball-to-eyeball one-on-one contestants are in a wrestling match that cannot stop until one throws the other and holds him down. Now, Paul is saying, and that's why I'm preaching on this in the sanctuary today, I no more believe that the average Christian realizes, lives in, and acts on this truth than I did and still do concerning the first chapter, that we were chosen for God before he ever spoke the worlds into existence. He whispered your name. And in that act of choosing, it was deliberate and out from among others who are not chosen, if so facto, thus rejected. I refuse to believe yet that the traditions that have garbled our minds on this subject and the evangelism that has Jesus trembling at everybody's door, wanting to get in, and the theologically heretical concept, will you accept Christ? You can't get out of that tradition overnight and realize that before the worlds were formed, God chose out from among, which means there were others he didn't choose, not in some abstract way of waiting until we get here and then scanning the performers and saying, I want that one. Before there ever was a world or a universe, he chose. And for himself, for his good pleasure, don't believe that's settled in yet. I don't believe this that I'm on today has. Satan doesn't know whom were the objects of that choice. He didn't know who God chose until the set time of God starts the process called soterion in the Greek of salvation. Whatever method he uses to bring the first light, no man cometh to the Father save the Spirit drawing. The Holy Spirit knows the choice. And generation after generation, God in his mysterious way within his sovereignty calls. But the minute, whether it's listening to this program, wandering into a church, seeing a Jesus Save sign, talking to a friend on the job, or coming to it out of some urging in your own soul as you seek after God, that hound of heaven, as the poet says, strikes the spark somewhere of the called and of the chosen, and at that moment, Satan knows who you are, and you are on target. At that moment, what does Satan care about the rest of the world? The second chapter of Ephesians says, ye were dead in trespasses and sins, walking according to the cosmos, or according to the course of the cosmos, the course of this world. The frame of reference that governed them, which is under the prince of the power of the air. Because he goes on and defines that course of this world according to the prince or governor of the governments or authorities of the air. Under the control of the spirit that operates in the children of disobedience, resulting in a behavioral pattern in a life that bring forth the wrath of God. Of such were some of all of you, until that spark illuminates and the receiver for the transmitter is fired up by the Holy Spirit, and you, at that moment, God has decided to pull out of the bunch one that he chose before the worlds were formed. At that moment, all the sirens go off in Satan's halls. At that moment, like an escapee from a prison, all stops are pulled. And he has one goal with you, and that's to break your connection, because he knows many are called but few are chosen, and he breaks that connection when he destroys your faith, and you're at war. Why, I faithfully said for 17 years, you're never going to hear it from me. Walk down that aisle and recite after me this little verbal formula that takes the place of the beads the Catholics count. And all things will get rosy. You're not going to hear any of this heretical dominion theology from me. Of ushering in the kingdom of God here. That we somehow can take Christ's place, and all authority in heaven and earth is given to us. And I said the other night, you know, I'm so sick of these dominion preachers and these faith preachers that go over the deep end into heresy. These deliverance preachers and these kingdom preachers, the night before the election, or the Sunday, I guess it was, before the election, they bound Satan across America. And everybody that knows that group knows that behind the scenes, they knew they couldn't bind Clinton and take political sides without losing their licenses or their nonprofit status. So they characterized it in public phraseology, we're going to bind Satan. Everybody behind the scenes knew what they were after. Now, I don't have to be on Clinton's side or on Bush's side. But they didn't want this baby-killing president. They didn't want Clinton. And again, hear me, I'm not taking sides on the president. All I'm saying is they bound Satan all across America. Their goal was to keep Clinton out. How good was their binding?
They took dominion over Satan. How come I met him last night? Ruling in Monrovia. Satan's town. Try to move, sir. He's got a smile. Oh, thank God for the test that he planted you right at the gate of hell, just like the founder of the Salvation Army. The minute you take your first steps of faith in response to God's call, you're on target. And a wrestling match occurs. Holly. It's not going to let up. I've told you many times, the King James suggests when Jesus was in the wilderness and Satan was tempting him, it says Satan withdrew for a season in the King James. The Greek has it like a boxer who backs off, not able to get through, and looks for an opening. He didn't withdraw to rest. He backed up, since his tactic wasn't working, to find a new opening so he could slam one home. You're on target. And you are no match. I tell my staff from morning to night, you can't do it in your strength. You are no match. Be empowered by God. Start out with faith. That's why I'm haranguing at you, dinning at you. Get up there tomorrow morning. Say, now what can I do as an act of faith before I have breakfast and relieve myself? Because if you don't get the edge on him, believe me, the devil will meet you in the bathroom. He'll be at the breakfast table. I've tried to tell my staff people why it's so important that at the start of the day, I simply prove to Satan, when I know I'm going to be in battle all day long, prove to Satan that we're strong enough in faith to hold him off, at least for that little hour of breakfast. Have you ever heard me say before, I think I'm the only preacher on television that knows we're in a war? Now, what are we fighting against in this life and death wrestling? And this is what I believe you're going to hear words, but not accept. For the rest, be empowered in the Lord and in the kratai, hardness of the strength of Him. Because not against flesh and blood is the wrestling, but against pros, the rulers, archos in the Greek. It's the stem from which we get archaic. It goes in its roots back to first power. These are powers that have been around a long time, and it translates literally rulers. The demons, when Jesus encountered them in the Gospels, those simple little passages that everybody loves to restrict the Christian revelation to. Read Mark, I said, 2 weeks ago. About every chapter. Starting with a demon-possessed man in the synagogue. He meets demon, supernatural personages. And again, they know him. But he shushes them on one occasion because it wasn't time to reveal his true nature. They plead with him, are you come to send us to the abyss or the bottomless pit before our time? They know their destiny, but they know they've got an allotted time to wrestle. They aren't wrestling with those in the prison cell. Those that have been enlightened by the Spirit that by faith are springing free. You're their target. And they were going to, in essence, call Christ to task that he was shortening their time. They weren't supposed to go to the pit yet. They're free to wrestle. Another bunch, if they couldn't get in this demoniac of the Gadarenes, let them go into the pigs, they said. Pigs knew they were up against something they couldn't live with. They drowned themselves rather than leave them around. Rulers. What I'm saying I don't believe is realized. It's like those that would say, yeah, God lives and exists when Elijah showed up to remind them. You didn't come down the road today, most of you, aware that powerful demon rulers are your enemy. They know where you are. They know which car you're in. They know where you're going. They know your address. They've had enough time to analyze your soft spots and your strengths. They know how to get to you. That's rulers. That isn't what I'm going to talk about today. I just wanted to mention it. That's one. Second, turning it into a noun, what's the next word? Taught on it all week. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, tos arkos, pros, against the authorities, tos exousias, the authorities, personified as a noun. Those to whom power has been given, those to whom rulership has been given. I commented through the week, you learn about Michael by comparison with Gabriel in Daniel, where Gabriel comes and the people fall on their face in fear, and the description of his power personage is given. Yet radiating that power and strength, he says, I could not get here. I heard your prayer when first prayed. That was 3 weeks earlier. Came to bring the answer, but could not get here because the prince of Persia withstood me. We then find, as I repeat every Sunday almost, these are not earthly princes, because in that same context, he says, Michael, chief of princes, came to help me. So we know we're talking about angelic, bad or good, supernatural, angelic princes. It took Michael to help Gabriel. He says, when we return, the prince of Persia will be no more, and lo, the prince of Grecia comes. Yet Michael, in all of that power, the New Testament, not the Old Testament, says that when he wrestled with Satan for the body of Moses, he dared not accuse him to his face. And until Michael is turned loose at a later chapter here in the book of Revelation to one-on-one with Satan himself and cast him out of the heavenlies and restrict him to just this earth, and all the heavenlies will open up in song, rejoicing that his evil presence is now denied and he cannot come into the heavenlies. But until that time comes, don't let some dim-witted Pentecostal preacher stand on a platform and tell you that they can command him and take his authority away. You can only deny his authority over you. We can only deny his authority over a ministry. We are not going to set up a kingdom down here. Our kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said it. We are pilgrims and aliens, children of a heavenly Father, strangers down here, just passing through. This world is not our home. All we can hope to do is to be empowered with his strength, that these forces and authorities rulers, authorities, and the third one coming up boggles the mind. I wonder what went through these beings' minds on the eve of the election when they were told they had no authority over the United States. Hey, world, as we pierce the sky and the darkness worldwide, we're shaking up world rulers. You think they're not going to come at us? I simply don't think most Christians know the true enemy, and you absolutely cannot stand it. We are to stand and withstand. I've only begun this message. They're going to be around. The reason I'm in Revelation 12 or 13 is they're going to be around to the end. They won't be put down by a Pentecostal preacher or a television network or a radio network. They will be put down by Christ when he comes from beyond history and seizes the beast and the false prophet, throws them into that lake of fire, and that angel from heaven binds Satan and puts him in a bottomless pit. Sorry, Pentecost preacher ain't going to do it. Or Baptist. That enemy's going to be here in God's set times, but we don't have to be under his dominion. We have a fight every day, but we can be empowered with his might. How? How do you get his might? How do you get empowered? Well, you have Christ in you. You have his might, his strength. How do you get Christ in you? Faith. Now, you want to tune in and practice some faith this week as I finish this message all week long. You only listen today, and you're only going to get a little bit of it. But this is designed to open the subject that you will get your shortwave radios and your television and your satellite dish tuned as we continue to enlighten this congregation, at least, on what the true enemy is and how to survive under his attack. That's my message for the day. Get up here, musician. Go. There's no offering today to follow the message. That gives you plenty of time as the song is finished to check out the display of God's Word. I'm serious when I say this is an introduction. I want you tuned in this week. I was devastated when I asked one of my staff members last night, have you been listening to the teaching this week? And found he hadn't listened once. His answer was, I've been busy. Well, so has Satan. And while you're busying around doing the Lord's work, he's going to knock the pinochle out of you. And you better understand that we have pierced his domain as no one has in 2,000 years. I'm really sorry, folks, but as your pastor, no, I'm not sorry, but I'm sorry you don't understand. And now I want you to understand, as your pastor, I have led you into the firing zone. Now, I want you to understand that. If you don't understand that, here's where I'm sorry for you. If you don't understand that, you're going to get your asteroid shot off and not even know who's shooting. So will you please listen this week? Sing that same song again, Hold of God's Unchanging Hand.